Aren't you glad you're saved? Proverbs chapter 16, we're going to read one verse together, a reading from the King James Bible. If you see someone does not have a Bible, please share with them your Bible, if it's a King James. Proverbs chapter number 16, and we're going to read one verse together, verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 5. And let's read together, shall we? Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. I'm going to talk to you this morning about pride. Pride. Nice, soothing, comforting sermon on a Sunday morning. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for being such a merciful, gracious God. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, dear God, for the day that we humbled ourselves before thee and trusted you to be our Savior. Now, dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts this morning. I pray that we believe every single word that we're about to read this morning in the Word of God. Bless, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Again, Proverbs 13, verse number 10, only by pride cometh, no, that's wrong, yes, wrong verse, I'm sorry. Proverbs 13, let's turn your Bibles there, Proverbs chapter number 13, and verse number 10, the Bible says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Again, Proverbs 13, verse number 10, only by pride cometh contention. That's a pretty exclusive verse. In other words, the only reason there's contention is because of pride. I don't care if you're contending with God, there's a marriage that has contention, a church that has contention, a nation that has contention. The only reason we have contention, the Bible says, is because of pride. Anytime there's contention between two individuals, it's because of pride. Sometimes it's one individual. Most times, I believe it's both individuals. And so when you have people that are full of pride and they don't see life as God sees it in the Word of God, you're going to have differences and contentions. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:4, and high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. The Bible says in 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. There is never anything good about pride or proud in the Bible. Absolutely nothing. Every time it is ever mentioned, it is always in a negative connotation. But our society today is pummeled with phrases about you ought to be proud of yourself. Proud, take pride in your work, your product. Oh, you're so proud of your house or your car. You're so proud of your money. People are proud of the knowledge they hold. They're proud of their experience, their qualifications, their resume. They're proud to be an American. Proud of their alma mater, their school, their college, their church. But there's nowhere in the Bible that says you ought to be proud about anything, even Christianity. Even God. You see, God commands us to be humble people. I'm not proud that I'm saved. I'm grateful that I'm saved. Because if I was proud, it would be something that I deserved or I did. So I could take some credit for it. But all the glory goes to God, and a humble person will not be proud that they're saved. They'll just be thankful and grateful that they humble themselves before a holy God and they trusted Jesus to save their soul. I have nothing to be proud about. Absolutely nothing. Pride in the Bible is likened to waves. In Job 38, verse number 11, the Bible says, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. God talks about the sand and the borders that he's created. And by the way, God has created boundaries and borders of nations. But he says in Job 38, 11, he calls the waves proud because they're lifted up. And I like the waves. When I go to Atlantic Ocean, man, I love the waves. I really do. I grew up going to Atlantic Ocean just every summer. And I still go when I have the opportunity. But the waves, the proud waves, are a picture of pride in the Bible. Psalm 86, verse number 14, the Bible says, the proud are risen against me. They're risen. Psalm 124, verse number 5, then the proud waters had gone over our soul. So God likens pride like the waves of the sea that go over a person. They're majestic, they're powerful. You can't stop the waves, man. But God likens that. And sometimes they're overwhelming. And it'll overwhelm you too. Your pride will kill you. Your pride will destroy you. A believer should not be proud of anything. Believers are commanded to be humble and to walk humbly. You won't find anywhere in the entire Bible that we ought to be proud about anything, even God, even the Bible. Humble people do not take pride in things. Humble people are grateful to God for what God's given them. People dress and walk and act today to get attention from others only for themselves, or they undress to attract other people's attention to them. That's why so many people are wearing skin-tight leggings. They look like they're painted on. That's why, I don't know why fat people would wear skin-tight leggings. I just don't. I don't get it. Walking behind them, the best illustration I ever heard was Dr. Gray said, when you walk behind somebody who's got skin-tight leggings, it looks like two hogs in a sack fighting each other, you know? It's disgusting. But Americans are proud of themselves. They're proud of fat. They're proud of sin. My Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair, but men are proud to have long hair. Look like a long-haired hippie weirdo freak. My Bible, it's a shame, the Bible says. But we're proud today for men to have long hair because I want to look like Jesus. Those are Roman Catholic paintings. Bible says that Jesus had short hair, ladies and gentlemen. Women, today, they cut their hair, and that's nothing but pride. You put tattoos on because you're proud. Men wear their earrings because they want to be cool. Wear their spiked hair and colored hair. They want to show off, grab attention. The only reason you color your hair is because you're full of yourself and proud of yourself. All these styles, you know, you spike it up this way, you put it this way. Men with long hair is a shame. Women who cut their hair short is pride. Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goeth before destruction. You know why America's being destroyed? Because she's too stinking proud of herself. Instead of being grateful that God blessed her the first 150 years, maybe at least the first 100 years, now she's full of herself, and she's going to be doomed and destroyed. Mark my words. It's only a matter of time. All we can do is stand for what's right and fight for what's right. But I'm telling you, the handwriting is on the wall. Proverbs 29, verse 23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Isaiah 28, verse 1 says, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, the drunkards. You know why people take their booze and their drugs? Because they want to feel good. That's pride. They want to feel good. The pride of drunkards. Isaiah 28:3 says, the crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim. Jeremiah 49:16 says, thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart. O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. So your pride has deceived you. You thought you were so strong and so terrible. It's deceived you because you haven't read what God said about you. Micah chapter 6, the Bible says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Take your Bible, turn to Ezekiel 16, please. Ezekiel 16. Today you see people beep-bopping down the street. You know, swinging their bodies like they're a monkey off of a tree. You know, they're showing off. Why can't you walk normal? Why can't you put one foot in front of the other and walk normal? Because you're a show-off. It's pride. Can't walk like an adult. Oh, I'm not going to walk like a white man. Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16. I refuse to apologize for anything I've ever said that was right, ever. I refuse to apologize for anything I've ever done that was right, ever. Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. So how did the Sodomites and the perverts get that way? You're about to read it. You see, sodomy, the Sodomites are a result of something else that happened before they got to that perverted state in life. I'll wait till you get there. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse number 49. I want you to read this with your God-given eyeball. And this is why America's been cursed. Europe's been cursed because of this. Because of these verses, or this verse right here. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Can you imagine God likening Israel to Sodom and Gomorrah? He does that a few times in the Bible. Here it is. Pride. The first thing that comes up is pride. Oh, like the gay pride. It's not gay. It's perverted pride. But the gay pride, you know. It's Pride Week, Pride Month, you know. Everybody's proud. And you wonder, why is God cursing America? Because everybody's proud of themselves. Whatever degenerate that you become, you're proud of it. Instead of being disgusted with and asking God for mercy, we're proud of it. This was the iniquity of thy sister's son. Pride. Fullness of bread. Do you ever wonder why there's less perverts in Africa than there is in Europe and America? It's in the Bible. The countries in Africa have more sense than Americans do. They're outlawing homosexuality. While America is expanding everybody's rights to perversion. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor needy. What caused the Sodomites to run rampant in America? Pride, all the bread you want to eat, and all the welfare and food stamps that you want, and sit on your stoop and do absolutely nothing all day and let somebody else feed you and house you. There you go. That's exactly what happened in Europe. It's exactly what's happened in America. But you ever go to third world countries where they're dirt poor? Their thinking is straighter than Americans are. That's why those people, when they hear the gospel, they get saved just like that. You give the gospel to the average American or Canadian or European, they'll scoff at you and laugh at you and mock at you and hate you because they're full of bread. They got all the money they want. And they've degenerated so much that America's like Sodom and Gomorrah now. They're past. They crossed that line. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm talking about pride this morning. By the way, these Sodomites were just like you and I before they became Sodomites. And they allowed their mind in pride to harden against God, against the Word of God, and I just want a good job. I don't care what I'm doing. I want a good salary, good vacation, good benefits, good retirement. I just want a job. You don't care if it's good or holy or right. So, Satan gave you a good job, lots of money. You have so much food. You throw out more food every day than the average person in a third world country eats a day. We complain about the most stupidest things. We've been given the blessings after blessings after blessings. We still complain about it. I have a list of things that are proud. Number one, Sodomites. Number two, fundamentalists. Fundamentalists can easily become Pharisees because we have the truth. The King James Bible is the Word of God. It's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We believe in separation and soul winning and warning people of hell, telling others about Jesus in heaven. I ask you, which other denomination in the world, any denomination today, is doing any kind of street preaching, any kind of confrontational soul winning? Who knocks on doors and who hands out gospel tracts? The vast majority of anybody that does that today are independent, fundamental, separated, King James only Baptist churches. The danger is we know that and we can be full of ourselves. The danger is there's too many pastors and authors and scholars and theologians and missionaries and evangelists and church leaders who have the potential to have pride because of the knowledge and the experience that we possess, because we have the truth. We know the truth. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, knowledge puffeth up. And you better be careful. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, the Bible says. And the Bible says, knowledge puffeth up. So you have to have knowledge, but that knowledge is going to puff you up if you're not careful. Do you realize everybody has a problem with pride? Everybody has a problem with pride. No one is immune from this, because we're all wearing flesh. We're all living this life. We all have to deal with sin. And everybody wants to feel good about themselves. And then you have the world patting you on the back. You're doing so good. I'm telling you, none of us are doing good enough. Pride follows character. Pride follows responsibility and knowledge and experience and winning. We're going to win so much. I like winning. I play sports. I want to win. But you know what winning does? It brings a lot of pride. We are the champions. Proud to kill 800,000 babies a year. I don't know. What are you proud about? When you win, pride sets in. When you work hard and you're responsible and you save your money, you buy a house or a car, pride sets in. You go ahead and knock on doors in Loudonville like we have. Then go to the projects in Troy. People who are poorer on the scale will listen to you better than people who live in rich, snobby neighborhoods. It's just the matter of fact. You know why? Because pride sets in. There are people in Loudonville, Clifton Park, and the surrounding areas, they're very responsible. They're hardworking people. They're good people. They're law-abiding people. They work hard, two jobs. They have decent families. They take care of their families. But you know what happens? Pride sets in. Then you try to tell them something about God. Say, oh, I've done it myself. I did it my way, like Frank Sinatra. I'm burning in hell right now. There's nothing good about pride in the entire Bible. Nothing. Be careful, fundamentalist. Be careful when you win somebody. Be careful when a prayer gets answered. Be careful when you learn some truth from the Word of God. Be careful. You better nip it in the bud. Get rid of pride, because something you said, something you did, something you accomplished. My Bible says in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself. It says about tomorrow, but you shouldn't boast about anything. You always just say, I think as James says, if the Lord will tomorrow. If the Lord will, you don't know. You could die today. You think you're going to go and do something. You think you're going to go buy something. You think you're planning something. You don't know what's going to happen tonight, man. You don't know what's going to happen in a couple hours. Stay humble if God's blessed you. If God's blessed you with good fortune, good health, and blessing after blessing, stay humble, because time and chance happen to all. It was God who blessed you, and it's God who gave you life. It's God that gave you breath and the abilities and the talents and gifts and anything else you have. Be thankful and grateful to God, but don't be proud about it. Proverbs 27:2 says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. I think one of the greatest illustrations I ever heard in my life, I'm telling you, I'm 62 years old. It was one of the greatest illustrations I heard about pride. 30 years ago, I was going to a Baptist meeting, and I can't remember who it was, but this preacher was telling an illustration. He had a cold and just wasn't feeling good, and he preached a sermon. He thought it was a great sermon he had prepared, and he you know, through coughing and everything else, he was going through the sermon, and he said, when he got done preaching, he says, you know what? I can't believe I did that good of a job. I thought that was a pretty good sermon I preached. He walks in the back to shake people's hands. And while people, he said, the sermon was so good that people were coming up to him and shake his hand and just like in awe, awestruck. He said, wow, I didn't know it was that good. You know, I knew it was good, but I didn't know it was that good. Everybody just looking at him, just shaking his hand. Didn't say a word, just shake his hand and just walk that door like they were, wow, blown away. After he was done shaking people's hands, he went to the parking lot, got in his car, looked in the mirror, and there was snot coming up his nose like that. And while people thought, he thought, people were looking at him like he was such a wonderful preacher, they were looking at the snot coming up his nose because he's wiping his nose with his handkerchief because he had a cold, running nose. But that happens a lot of times because we think we're so hot, so good. But we don't realize that we're just a bunch of sinners there. You better be careful you don't take any credit that God's done through you or with you. You better give the glory to God Almighty. I like President Trump. I'll vote for him again anytime I possibly can, as many times as I possibly can. But the problem he has, he's too proud of himself. He's too full of himself. He's not a humble man. Now, I'm not saying the other one wasn't proud. They act real good, though. They act better. You know what you need? You need someone like Moses, who is the meekest man, and he was the general of the Israeli army, man. That's what you need. You need a leader like Moses, who wasn't proud, but he was humble and meek, and God used him. Number three, I said number one, the sodomites. Number two, fundamentalists. Number three, lost religious people. Psalm 10:4 says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Romans 3:27 says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, by the law of faith. So the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. And God says he will save the humble, the Bible says. For you to be saved, you need to humble yourself before a holy God, realizing you're a sinner on your way to hell, not wanting to go there, and asking God for mercy. God doesn't save proud people, absolutely none. Now what happens is pride sets in right afterwards. Rebellion, disobedience. I'm telling you, it happens to every single one of us. But lost people, especially religious people, have to forsake their pride to get saved. Proud people are proud of their works, especially their religious works. They worship their sacraments and worship their relics and their statues and their icons, their christening, their infant baptism, which is not Bible baptism. They hold on to their church membership, their position, their reputation, their years of supporting a lost religion. And they can't let go of that so they don't get saved because they're too proud to humble themselves. Number four, I said the sodomites, the fundamentalists, and lost religious people. Number four, growth. Growth. Just be patient with yourself. Be patient with God. You're obviously here. You're obviously alive, so God's not done with you yet. Let God, allow God to work on you. The Bible says in John 16:13, Jesus speaking, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. If you're looking for truth, you're seeking truth, God, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Now, if you want to close your eyes and close your ears to truth, that's your problem because your pride is too stinking big and it's all about you. Well, if you're sincere about wanting to learn the truth, you will learn it because Jesus said it. Unless your pride gets in the way. I don't want to hear it. Why not? If it's in the Word of God, why don't you want to hear it? Because your pride. Pride will keep you from growing in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So be patient with yourself. Like most all of us, we didn't know anything about the Bible when we got saved. Don't look at others and think and say, I'll never be like them. I'll never be able to do that. Well, allow God to work on your heart by reading the Bible. Pray every day. Come to a good, independent, fundamental Baptist church that use a King James Bible only. Even if you think you'll never get to where you wish you really could, be patient as God works on you, as he restores you, as he reconciles you, as he recycles you, as he strengthens you, as he teaches you. And you will be blessed by God Almighty as you look back and say, wow, God did this. Not you, but God. All praise and all glory goes to God alone. Pride keeps people away from the King James Bible. Scholars and theologians are full of pride. As I mentioned earlier, knowledge puffeth up. They're full of themselves. People choose a different English perversion. Listen to me good. Only one reason. Because of pride. They like it. They say it's easier to understand. They say it's closer to the originals. Why don't you grow up and read a King James Bible or learn why the King James Bible is the Word of God? It's not that difficult to learn. 1 hour online, you'll find out why the King James Bible is the Word of God. If you're sincere. They're not sincere. Because he's promised to lead you into all truth. And the only reason you're not going to get into all truth is because your stinking pride's in the way. People refuse to grow up. They want to stay immature because they like being immature. They like being a baby. They like getting the attention. That's why your prayer life's going to suffer. Leviticus 26:19 says, I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. Yeah. So your prayers aren't going to get answered because of pride. Look, let me tell you something. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And the decision is made on whether you're going to be humble or proud about it. Are you going to humble yourself before a holy God, before a holy book? Or are you going to say, I don't care what that Bible says about such and such a subject? Okay. I said, number one, the sodomites. Number two, the fundamentalists. Number three, the lost religious people. Number four, growth. Number five, probably my favorite on the list, the non-independent, fundamental, King James only, separated Baptist traitors and cowards. John 12:42, the Bible says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Catholics, Protestants, and others have pride in their religion, their church, and their denomination. Oh, our church is the oldest. Our denomination is the oldest. Look at our founding. Look at our history. Look at the Reformation. Saved people who do not leave their old church do so out of fear of what others would say and do. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Instead of getting angry that their old church never one time told them that they needed to be born again to be saved from hell, they continue to stay because their family and friends still go there. They wouldn't want to be ostracized. Their reputation, their leadership position, their positions of either pastor, Sunday school teacher, treasurer, clerk, secretary, singer, chanter, altar boy, helper, usher, anything else is more important to them than Jesus is. It's their pride. What are people going to say? What do people want to think? Their pride's going to be hurt. Get over your pride. The sooner you get over your pride, the sooner you start growing, the sooner God will start blessing you. God says, come out of them, my people, and be separate. Saved evangelicals and lukewarm, backslidden, rebellious believers hate fundamentalists because we're right. And it shows them that people who love Jesus can and do and will separate themselves from the world and come out from among those, the Bible says. But they're too involved with the religious Hollywood productions that they go to that promote perversions and abominations. It bothers them that we're doing what God has commanded them to do, and it makes them feel guilty and convicted because of their pride. Instead of getting right with God, their pride makes them angry at us for obeying God. Have you ever tried to have a conversation with an evangelical or a dead Baptist about the King James Bible? About easy believism? About soul winning or street preaching or separation or alcohol or gambling or smoking or tattoos or rock and roll music or rap music, which is crap music, by the way, or heavy metal? Do you ever talk to a woman who's an evangelical about divorce and how wives ought to obey their husbands? You see how angry they get? Just show what a Bible verse says. Why are they angry? They're pride. They don't want to humble themselves and obey God. Only by pride cometh contention. Are you angry at God this morning? Huh? You just faking your life along? Happy-go-lucky? Oh, I have so many fake friends on Facebook. So many people like me. Parents don't discipline their children, and their kids turn out to be proud. Then you get angry when they hear preaching on disciplining kids, especially the women. Oh, don't hit them. Don't beat them. You're going to kill them. Men are too henpecked, like Ahab, to open their mouth and act like a real man in front of their Jezebels. And the rest of men are like a bunch of Nabals where nobody can talk to them because they'd rather hunt, fish, play video games, go hunting, go camping, go running, go to the gym, go to the beach, go to the lake, put the boat in the water, watch your stupid sports, drink your beer and your booze. You know what the common denominator is? Pride. Everybody's proud of themselves. And they're rebelling against a holy God. Psalm 31:18, let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Psalm 123, verse 4, our soul is exceeding filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. They don't go to church Sunday night. They don't go to church Wednesday night. They don't go soul winning. They have no dress standards. They drink their liquor, their beer, their wine, their booze. But they criticize the fundamentalists because their pride bothers them. Isaiah 3:5, the Bible says, a child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient and the base against the honorable. Well, you see that today, ladies and gentlemen. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. Some 20-year-old, 25-year-old thinks they know more than a 60, 70, or 80-year-old preacher. You know what that is? That's stupidity. Jeremiah 43:2, the Bible says, all the proud men saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The proud people, who the ones who put Jeremiah in the dungeon, are telling Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. Yeah, proud people put Jeremiah in the dungeon. And by the way, it would be the proud people who persecute you and I too. Mark her down. Psalm 119:21, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. God likens the proud that err from thy commandments. In verse 51, the proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. Verse 69, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Psalm 119, verse 78, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. In all those four verses I just read, it's the proud attacking God's people when they're the ones that aren't keeping the word of God. You know why they hate us? Because we're pointing out some things that they're afraid to point out. We're saying some things that they're too spineless to say. I know God's a God of love. I mean, you hear that on the radio, television, everybody else is saying, I'm not saying God's not love. The Bible says God is love. But how about the other 95% of the Bible? Psalm 119:85, the proud have digged pits for me. Psalm 123, verse 4, our soul is exceeding filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. That's your evangelical non-Baptist churches. People would rather believe in tongues and dreams and visions and voices and miracles. No buses, no soul winning, no street preaching, no Sunday schools, no junior church, no hard work for the ministry. They love their worldly music. They sing their specials like a Hollywood show. Hey, wasn't that a blessing this morning? I mean, I don't know about you, man, but I couldn't stop crying here this morning. Just listen to that song. But you go to their places, they got like a boombox going on, the beat's going on, the swirling lights are turning, and everybody's dancing to a hellish beat, like it's a talent show or American Idol performance. Pride keeps you from dressing right and modestly. Pride does. I'm going to wear whatever I want. I don't care what you say. I don't care what anybody thinks. That's pride. High-browed, stiff neck, scholars and theologians, perversions about the word of God. Only by pride cometh contention. Psalm 119, verse 165. Yea, they that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. If you love God, there's nothing I'm saying this morning that'll offend you. That's what God said. I'd rather believe God than you. If you're offended at anything I say, you're not right with God. Even if the preacher was wrong, you say, oh, dear God, help that preacher. If I misquoted something, you say, dear God, please help that preacher. I love the guy, but please, Lord, please help him. But you sure wouldn't get upset. You sure wouldn't get angry. Because they that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Hey, get your pride out of it. Get it out of it. Cut it out. Humble yourself before God. Nehemiah 9:16, they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments. Nehemiah 9:29, and testifies against them that thou mightest bring them again unto thy law. Yet they dealt proudly and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. And withdrew the shoulder. That hurt. Withdrew the shoulder and hardened their neck and would not hear. You know how people, I don't want to hear it. Don't talk to me. Well, if you're saved, if you're a child of God, why can't we read the Bible together? Why can't you point out a verse? And I'll point out a verse and see what you think what God says about it. No, I don't want to talk about it. You know what it is? There's stinking pride. They're too proud to admit, too proud to humble themselves. They're full of themselves. Hey, this is Baptist preaching, by the way. This is not a liturgy. This is Baptist preaching. This is not a worship hour. Did you get that last week? I lost count now where I started, but number one was the sodomites. Then the fundamentalists. Then lost religious people. Then growth. Then the non-independent, fundamental, King James only, separated Baptists, traitors and cowards. Now children. Oh, I didn't finish the other part. I'm sorry. In 1 Samuel 17:28, we're showing the traitors and cowards. These are saved traitors and cowards, the saved ones now, not the lost religious people, saved people. In 1 Samuel 17:28, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard what he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. You remember when David came, found the sheep, bringing lunch to his brothers on the front line, fighting in the battle against the Philistines, and Goliath comes out, says, give me a man to fight. David's on his way. He said, wow, what's going on here? How come nobody's fighting this guy? And you know what his brother said to David? This was his brother. The coward brothers, the spineless brothers, here's what they said about David. To David, they said this: I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. The backslidden spineless brothers who had no fight in them criticized David for being too proud. It wasn't his brothers that killed Goliath. It was David himself. It's not the evangelicals who go soul winning. It's the fundamentalists. It's not the evangelicals who believe the word of God. It's the King James only, independent, fundamental, separated, hellfire and damnation Baptist churches that do. And they say, oh, they're just too proud over there. Okay, you better start reading your Bible. Zephaniah 2:10 says, this shall they have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts. The traitors and cowards complaining about us trying to do right, being proud like David's brothers criticizing David for being right, right before David kills Goliath, because they were too spineless to kill Goliath. The evangelicals too spineless to leave their churches and start going to a King James only Bible-believing Baptist. They're spineless, that's all. They're a bunch of cowards. Children now. Isaiah 3:5. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient and the base against the honorable. We read that. Romans 1:30 says, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. 2 Timothy 3:2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Click, 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 click. Hi. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. People do not stop coming to this church because it's too far away. There's something the preacher said that got them irked off, ticked off. It bothered them. That's why they don't come back. Children will rise up against their parents, Jesus said. Even church people rise up against the King James Bible. Lazy socialist citizens and non-citizens, the criminals that are lawbreakers, you know, the people coming across the border illegally, will rise up against what is right. They don't like laws. They don't like a border. They don't like a wall. They don't like rules. They don't like the enforcement of laws. They don't like decency or honor or integrity. They're a bunch of potheads, drunks, gamblers, casinos, lotteries, sports. Never, never, never give in to the pride and arrogancy of your own children. Ever. Ever. God said the rod of correction shall beat the foolishness out of them. You're going to regret one day for not beating them enough. You're going to regret not praying with them enough. You're going to regret not reading the Bible with them enough. You're going to regret not taking them to church when the doors are open. And Jesus did say the time will come that children will turn on their parents. You better read your Bible. And so you know what happens to a lot of parents? They compromise, and instead of obeying God, they'll say, oh, I'm going to go with my children because, you know, I don't want to break their heart. Why don't you be loyal to Jesus Christ more than anyone else? Why don't you be loyal to the Word of God more than anything else? The reason you don't is because of your pride. You want somebody to like you. You want somebody to love you. God is love. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous, the Bible says. This is love, that we keep his commandments. You ought to do your best staying by the stuff, this book right here. Soul winning. I don't know what number I'm at. Pride keeps you from going soul winning. Most people are timid, afraid, and fearful of others, seeing them out and about in public, knocking on doors, handing out gospel tracts to strangers, or preaching on a street corner. But Jesus commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a commandment for every single person in this room, not just the preacher. That's a commandment. If you're not a soul winner, you are not right with God. The reason why I say people are not soul winners is because of pride. How'd you guess that? That's the only reason people are not soul winning. Because of pride. It's too uncouth. It's not dignified. It's not polite. Pastor, it's just too confrontational. It's not me. It's not my personality, Pastor. It's just too pointed and too in your face. And it's too being put on the spot. It's too shocking. It's like, how dare you ask me that kind of question? It's none of your business. Well, you learn how to deal with difficult people when you go soul winning. You learn how to answer Bible questions from difficult people who have too much pride in their life. You learn how to react to mocking and ridicule and scorn and hatred from the devil's crowd. Yeah. Reason people don't witness and share the gospel and go soul winning is because of pride. Not because you don't have, you'll find time if you're concerned about somebody's soul. I remember the story, Brother Gracie, years ago, a woman was crippled, paralyzed in a wheelchair. She couldn't go out Thursday night soul winning or Saturday follow-up visitation, and she just felt bad about it. You know what she did? She got a telephone book out and started calling people. This is before the internet now. She got a telephone book in the area, just started calling people up, strangers. Say, hey, my name is so-and-so. I'd like to ask you a question. If you're concerned about people, you'd ask them. You'd find a way if there was a will. It's your pride that stops you. Because people who are related to you are going to see you. People you work with are going to see you. The people in your neighborhood are going to see you. And so what are they going to say? What are they going to think about me? You know what that is? Pride. It's your pride. Money. 1 Timothy 6:10. The love of money is a root of all evil. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It'll be pride that keeps you from giving, pride that keeps you from tithing, pride that keeps you from giving offerings and love gifts. The love of money is the root of all evil. Pride wants you to keep as much of that money so you can spend it on yourself and please yourself with the pleasures of life instead of getting the gospel around the world. So people will spend as much money as they can on their cars, their houses, their clothes. Their toys, even adults with their expensive toys. Their vacations, their spoiled, rotten, brat children. Their birthdays and their anniversaries, their big parties. I'm not against that. But then they rob God by not giving the tithes and the offerings so that missionaries can be sent around the world in your place so that they can share the gospel with the lost. You know why? Because money is power. And you can control others the more money you have. And you like having money because it gives you power to control other things in life. That's pride. Leviticus 26 says, verse number 19, I will break the pride of your power. I will break the pride of your power. Yeah, you go ahead and rob God and find out how much you have to pay in doctor bills and lawyer fees. Find out how much you have to pay in foreclosure costs. Find out how much you got to pay 30, 40 years from now. And you add it up. It would have been a lot cheaper for you to tithe and obey God. It would have been a lot cheaper for you to humble yourself before a holy God. Rulers and politicians. And these are the words that are associated with rulers and leaders. Arrogance, high looks, high brows, scoffing and mocking are all attributes in the Bible of evil and wicked rulers who hate God and hate the word of God. They're a bunch of drunkards. They're potheads or druggies or thieves or robbers. I'm talking about the leaders now, the rulers. They're religious leaders and pastors and theologians too, but I'm talking about the rulers and politicians, bosses and owners and lawyers and judges and mayors and governors and presidents. They're know-it-alls. They're people who look down at others. They're arrogant and evil, wicked rulers. They oppress the people, and they hate God, and they hate the Word of God. If you don't believe that, check out the history of the communists and Marxists and Hitler and Lenin and Stalin and Mao Zedong. Rebellion and disobedience against God is pride. Numbers 12:3, the Bible says Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. That's what it says about Moses. Meek doesn't mean weak. You can still be standing for God and doing what's right and remain meek and humble. Now, they'll say we're proud, but you can be meek and humble before God while you stand for what's right and fight for what's right. Read your Bible. I hate to say this, but I'm almost done. Beauty. Proverbs 31:30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Pride makes you think you're so beautiful. You take your selfies and plaster your picture everywhere. Can I say this? Don't take this the wrong way. You do anything you want. I'm not saying you shouldn't do this. If I was ever on Facebook years ago, I would never put any of my children on Facebook. Because if I was a criminal, you tell everybody where you're going, when you're going, who you're with, and they see pictures of your entire family, and if anybody wants to kidnap you or your children, you're giving them all the evidence to do it. You're an idiot. If you're going to be on Facebook, give them the truth, amen? Give them both barrels. If I was a kidnapper or a rapist, like it's happened before, they follow the blogs and they follow the Facebook page where somebody's going, where they're going to be at, what time, what day. Americans are a bunch of idiots because they're full of themselves. Back to the sermon. You do what you want. Obadiah 1:3 says, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Pride makes you think you're so beautiful. Anybody, any sense of worth, realize how vain you are, worshiping yourself, promoting yourself, making yourself to be something that you're not. These are the fakes, phonies, and frauds on Facebook. Isaiah 53:2, the Bible says about Jesus, there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. Jesus did not have any earthly beauty, worldly beauty to attract people. No physical, facial beauty. He had truth. He is truth. 1 Chronicles 16:29, the Bible says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. 2 Chronicles 20:21 says, praise the beauty of holiness. Don't praise your own beauty. The disciples point out to Jesus how beautiful the temple was. You know what Jesus said? You destroy this temple, 3 days, I'll raise it up again. He was talking about his own body, the temple. But the disciples say, look how beautiful these buildings are. And everybody's infatuated with how beautiful the buildings are. Their houses and the church house. And all the stained glass. Don't you wish you could take a stone and go right through those stained glass windows, man? In the sanctuary. The disciples point out what they thought was beautiful. But the proud disciples were talking about a physical building. I'm not proud to be an American. I'm glad I'm an American. I'm glad I was born here. Thank God that God let me be born here and live here. You know what's cursed of black people? Black power. They refuse. Their pride refuses to admit that it's keeping them from God. Blacks are cursed. Jews are cursed. Greeks are cursed. Americans used to be blessed, but they're being cursed today. And everybody's just full of themselves and proud of themselves. Last one, you ready? Depression is pride. Depression is pride. You can put any other name on it you want. You can disguise it any way you want. Depression is pride. You're thinking of yourself and your life and your situation and your struggle. The Bible is very clear that we ought to think on Jesus and think on these things in the Bible says. We are supposed to bring every thought into captivity and not have a pity party and not be depressed. Most times there's nothing wrong except your thinking is wrong. I'm trying to be as gentle as I can here because everybody in this room probably knows somebody who has committed suicide. Suicides and suicidal thoughts are self-centered pride. It's all about that person either being embarrassed of how they think they have ended up in life, having accomplished nothing, losing everything, giving up everything. They feel like giving up. They feel like they have no hope. They feel like things didn't work out the way they wanted it to. They feel like it. We're supposed to live by faith and not by sight, not by feelings. Feelings change with circumstances and times. ADHD. That's adults denying hallucinating drama. All these phrases we come up with, all these medical terms are really a cover for parents not willing to discipline their children and beat them when they've disobeyed. PTSD from a bad childhood or from my church or this or that. You know what the problem is? Stinking pride, self-pity. Amen. Instead of thanking God that you're alive and breathing and be a help to somebody, you want the focus and attention on you. Pastor, I can't get a job. As soon as a welfare check stops, you'll see how fast you can get a job. As soon as the food stamps and Section 8 stops, you'll find how fast you can get a job. My dad and mom were so mean to me. Stop focusing on your selfish, self-centered worshiping of yourself. Start worshiping God and loving others and helping others. As I said earlier, most people on Facebook are a bunch of crybabies seeking attention from others because their lives are so empty and so vain and so shallow. Why don't you get the truth out there? Preach the truth. I don't care if they hate you or not. Speak the truth. They crucify truth. Truth rose up again, though, 3 days later. There is a bigger battle going on in life than your own personal battle. The enemy wants you to magnify your problem to be bigger than what it really is. And David asked, is there not a cause? While his brothers say you're too proud of yourself. We know who you are. You just came here to watch the battle, David. David's answer was, is there not a cause? We need more people going soul winning. More people being faithful to follow up their converts. Bringing them to church. Tithing. Believing what God said in the old King James Bible. Don't let the enemy deceive you into thinking your personal problem or your heartache or your burden is greater than souls being saved and for standing for the truth. People need you to stand for what is right and what is truth. People need you to be the right kind of testimony, example of a follower of Jesus Christ. Get off of yourself and follow Jesus. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, I guess another not typical Sunday morning sermon. But dear God, we're in desperate need of humility in every area and facet of our country, churches and homes, businesses and corporations, and everything that happens. Lord, this country's gone crazy and nuts because they're full of themselves and proud. Dear God, please, please help us to humble ourselves, to walk humbly, because only by pride cometh contention. I pray, dear God, if anybody in this room is not saved, that they get rid of their pride this morning and humble themselves to be saved. You say that you save the humble. That's what the Bible says. So, dear God, I pray that we will humble ourselves and come before thee for salvation. And I pray for whatever other need, baptism, church membership, decisions that need to be made. Dear God, help us to get rid of our pride. There's some difficult people in our lives, but help us to love them. Pray for them. Help us to be considerate. Help us to get out of the way and let them see Jesus in us. Dear God, please bless this invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is, you do business with God.